Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
My boss hit my line with an angry text saying something about B90X. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. Then my phone blew up with a couple alarms. I got bets to make. I got worms to farm. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. I'm a wrestling son of a bitch from a worm farm down on the Mississippi. And if you got a problem with the way I live, you could catch a chest chop then a super kick. Yeah, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
All right, welcome into a special edition of Wrestling. We had an incredible opportunity because we are in the season of SummerSlam. SummerSlam, August 21st, Saturday night in Vegas, and Omos is getting his coffee as we speak. No, please,
nice.
Please bring in Omos'
coffee. That's not my coffee this time.
That's your cream. My bad. My bad. It's not his coffee. It's his cream.
He likes a little
with
bit
a shot
of coffee.
Coffee.
With 12 creams. Oh, that's mine.
That's what see,
I got hot
see,
chocolate. I'm the.
You got a hot cocoa.
I was not the only one.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I got no cream.
How many creams do you have?
Thank you. Yeah. No, I don't need any cream.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
All right. I got more cream than Baskin Robbins over here.
You don't want to. You want to be so polite.
What's going on over here?
I guess.
Well, she would like no cream, but just some sugar.
Thanks.
I'm gonna have to go work on your hot chocolate.
Oh, well, you're not going to go kill the chocolate. What do you have to do? You're going to go plant the chocolate? Oh, yes. Very good.
And if it's a thing that somebody's like, go and leave to get it, like, don't.
No, we have.
No. Okay. Cool.
That's
Mr.
Cool.
Woods, if you'll excuse me, go get the coffee.
The interns are too busy tweeting, so I'm taking care of it.
You take care of it. You got it. That guy's been here like 4 years longer than me. Anyway, it's wrestling. You got your cream? You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you say it like that? You sound like Luther Vandross all of a sudden. All right, everybody relax. So it is. It is wrestling. It is SummerSlam. Is August 21st on Peacock. It's going to be a great event, and we've got some incredible WWE superstars joining me here for a bonus episode this week. We just put out the episode yesterday with Sasha Banks, who's wrestling in a women's title match today. I'm joined to my left by the Raw Tag Team Champion, one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions. Well, actually, if you break down to math, you're not really half. You're at least like 70% of the Raw Tag Team Champions, if you really want to be honest.
Half.
It is almost to my right is the very talented and always fascinating when she's on TV. And the rising star, I got something to tell you about that. Rising star, Liv Morgan. Hello, Liv.
Hello. Thank you.
Well, your first question will be all about that. I don't want to have a mystery.
Okay.
And all the way to the far right is... just one of my favorites. I'm going to nerd out here for a second. I didn't do that with... you want to relax a little bit?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites just for a very long time. The New Day being what it is, it's been fantastic. And it is, of course, Xavier Woods.
Thank you for the kind introduction.
Wasn't that kind?
Introduction. My tongue is fat in my mouth.
So, question. I really got to start. It's my first question is, what is it like to just be so gigantic? What's it like to be so big? I'm sorry, I was talking to Xavier. You look jacked.
I've been killing it in the gym.
I can't lie.
The arms are really on fire right now.
They are.
We call it Mount Woods over here, the top
really?
Of the bicep.
When you say we, you just mean you.
No. We've got a whole following, trust me. There's Sherpas that live in the crease to take you on the journey, but you got to stop halfway, get your lungs right with the air.
Correct.
Get thin up there. So,
when people die on Mount Woods, they actually stay there?
Yes.
Okay. What a lovely image to start with.
Oh,
okay, coffee guy's back.
Oh, thank you.
How much coffee do we order?
Coffees.
We went to Starbucks, and now we get just double coffees.
Do you need another shipment of cream?
That is a debacle.
Oh,
yeah, he'll need more cream.
Heavy cream, yes. Just like my wedding night. All right, so relax, everybody. Come on. That's terrible.
Doo-doo.
Good. Thumbs up. All right. So I want to talk to you guys. So I'll start with Xavier because I don't know why you're just on the far right and you're in my line of sight.
Okay.
I have a $1 billion idea for you.
Oh, I'm ready.
Me and you. I know WWE's doing fine for you. I assume you're doing well in life.
I'm doing okay.
But I came up with an idea that could make billions, and I want to bring you in on it. Are you interested?
Yes.
You've got famously, you know, up, up, down, down. You're a video game guy. Huge video game guy. I'm a video game guy. I'm a little older than you. I'm 42. What are you? You 41 34. And a half?
34. So almost.
34. So here's my idea. I'm 42, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm in the prime of my life right now.
Yeah, I can see.
But very... Very soon, 30 years from now, I'm going to have to be, you know, I'm going to ride off into the sunset. Mm. As we all get old, our generation, the video game guys, the guys that grew up with Nintendo and Sega and all that, here's my idea, and you can come in. Video game-themed nursing homes. Video game-themed old folks homes. So when you check into a nursing home, they give you everything that you've ever had. You get an Xbox, you get a Sega Genesis, you get a Nintendo, you get a PlayStation 2, and the nurses, they're not even nurses. They don't care if you die. They just make sure that all your games work. Yeah. What do you think? Video game-themed old folks homes.
I think that's great. There's all these assisted living communities.
Yes.
Just fill them with arcade machines.
Yes.
Fill them with arthritis medicine. Yes. You've got to keep the hands and the knuckles ready to go. Have people, have masseuses there to, you know, work on the hands and make sure you can do that. As long as I can... press buttons, I'm good.
The Xavier Woods video game home for old folks.
I love it.
You're
I
in?
Love it. Yeah.
Okay.
We sign papers after this?
So, no, I've got them right here.
Okay.
So, I, you know what? I actually did pitch that idea to my wife one day, and she's like, you've been playing too many video games.
She hasn't been playing enough is what it sounds like.
Correct.
Because what are you going to do when you get that old?
Right.
If you can't, if you're not mobile, if you don't have money to like travel or all those things, like, I could just live in this old folks home,
right?
Assisted living, and I just have all these video games to play.
Just play like, Contra all day?
Yeah.
That is life.
Because what else? You already won. You became old. You have won. Now you're just doing extra stuff.
Is that really what we're striving for? To win by getting old? That is.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very simplistic view of life, but it's absolutely right, isn't it?
Yeah. If you make it more complicated, what's the point? You're going to stress yourself out.
So, Liv Morgan, yesterday I interviewed the great Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. Sasha Banks will be at SummerSlam. She'll be in one of the marquee matches. She's getting a rematch against Bianca Belair, the rematch of that incredible match at WrestleMania. Yeah. But I asked her, I said, I assume she planned to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. I assume she planned to go into the fall as the champion. I said, after you beat Bianca, what's next for you? And she said, there's a lot of young, exciting opponents I want to get in the ring with. And the first name she mentioned was Liv Morgan.
Aww.
What about that? I mean, I don't know what the future holds for Liv Morgan, but there's so many exciting opponents on the women's division, you know, as you go forward in your career. What's the short-term outlook for you?
Like my goals?
Yeah, sure. I don't care.
I mean, I would love to wrestle Sasha Banks.
Can you do me a favor? Please don't curse again. It's all right.
So sorry.
It's okay.
I am such a potty mouth.
It's fine. It's fine.
Notoriously.
Dave Portnoy, he demerits me every time somebody cusses on my show. No, it's fine.
Got
let it.
It,
play. Let
it play. I would love to wrestle Sasha. I've never worked with her before. So.
Have you not ever worked with her?
No.
See, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes at house shows that I don't get to go to. You know,
no.
I don't know if they like try out matchups that I never seen before.
I mean, I've been in tag matches against her, but I don't even think we've ever even really touched much. But I would love to wrestle Sasha. I'd really... want to be women's champion. I want to be SmackDown women's champion. I want to be Raw women's champion. I essentially, like, anything that there is to do, I want to do it. So I know I have so much work ahead of me, but I am excited for a long career.
So you have somebody that in your short time, which is actually not a short time in the business, you've come a long way in a very short time. You've had a lot of different character works and tweaks to your character and this. You've been punk rocker. You've been this and that. How often do you go through that, and how often do you sit back and say, let me change this, let me tweak this until you get to right where you want to be?
I don't know that for me personally I ever feel like I'm right to where I want to be.
Right.
I feel like it's always a work in progress. I feel like it's good and bad, but I never feel – I'm like the opposite of complacent. Even if I have something great, I'm like, no, 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 no. It could be better. It could be better. It could be better. So I'm always – working on, you know, what is next.
Can I just point something out to you guys? And I'm going to ask you a question in just a second, so just relax a little bit. Can I just point out to you guys that you guys are visiting, and it's fantastic. It's great. SummerSlam coming up. And our staff just brought you all multiple coffees, and nobody brought me a damn thing.
Do you want my extra?
I don't want your extra coffee. I want you to keep your extra coffee, because God knows you're anything but complacent. You drink all the coffee you can have. Meanwhile, Mr. Cream over here. Look at this. One drink. Yeah, one drink.
What?
Yeah, one drink, and he's got that much trash. Okay. So, no, you don't have to say anything. It has been, I would assume, professionally and personally, this year has been just a whirlwind for you. It's just been incredible. You made your in-ring debut as far as a wrestler at WrestleMania down in Tampa. And your first match, you go out and you win the tag titles.
Boo.
We'll get to you in a minute,
Boo.
Sir. Everybody. Okay, so what's it been like, man? What's this year? Because this year's, I mean, Xavier's been there a while, Liv's been there a while, but this thing's popping off for you right now.
It is, man. It's been a lot, but I'm just literally taking it one day at a time and just absorbing every moment, you know, because this is all new. I'm learning a lot from AJ, just listening to him and just making sure, like, I'm very present in the moment.
You know, you can learn a lot from a lot of guys, I'm sure, but AJ Styles. I mean, if you're thrown into a tag team with somebody to learn from, that has to be, like, the top of the list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They call him Phenomenal. Phenomenal one.
Yeah, well, we can all call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves. I mean, you don't want to see what I call myself behind closed doors.
Trust me, I don't want to
see it. You're correct, yeah. All right. So I just want to say before the show, you dropped just an incredible story, an interesting story. I do want to kind of bring that back a little bit. So your first trip to the United States.
Yes.
You were 15 years old.
I was 15 years old.
And you were given a stack and a sock. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
As a 42-year-old man, can I make a guess on camera what I think that is?
Yes.
A stack is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
Correct.
So about $1,000 in a sock, yep. And you showed up, and the first thing, the first thing you bought in America was what?
A Microsoft Zoom.
Okay, a Microsoft
so
Zoom.
So what happened was,
I bought a Microsoft Zoom.
I did, but right. There's a prelude before that, right? So I took a flight straight from Lagos, Nigeria, to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to catch another flight from Atlanta to Maryland, right? So I missed my flight. You know, because my first time at Atlanta Airport, I got lost.
Right.
During headlights. And I have, a couple of hours to burn in the airport before I go to the hotel. I'm like, you know what? Let me do some shopping. I'm here. And one thing I've always wanted before I left from Nigeria, because one of my cousins had an iPod, and I was just so enamored with it. Like, yo, look at this iPod video. You can watch videos here, music. I was wanting one. So I go to the place where they sell the electronics, and I'm like, do you guys have an iPod? I need one. They're like, it's sold out. And this is January 8th, 2008, right? So I'm an airport.
So right after Christmas.
Right after Christmas. I'm right. Like, do you guys have any? Like, no, it's sold. I'm like, okay, what's the next best thing? And she was like, we have this. It's a Zune. It does the same thing. I'm like, I'll take it.
You know, technically, Zune is supposed to do the same thing.
Yeah,
it is. I have no idea what a Zune is.
It's,
I've never heard of it before today.
You ever wanted to go eat a McDonald's, and you're in a town that isn't rich enough to have one, so you go to, like, a McDowell's or like a McDougal's? That's a Microsoft Zune.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Just doesn't have seeds on the bun. That's the only difference. So how'd your Microsoft Zune work? Did you have a long, fruitful life with it?
I did, man, for 2-3 years. I loved it.
My wife's husband bought me a Microsoft Zune for Christmas one year. And the same Christmas, my wife had bought me an iPod. So I had to go, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is fantastic. I don't think I never took it out of the box. You don't have to get mad at it, man.
I'm not mad at
you.
Wait,
can we back up?
Did you say your wife's husband?
Did I say my wife's husband?
You said your wife's husband.
Yeah, you did say your wife's husband.
Did I say my wife's husband?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
That, I'm from Mississippi. We have different relationships.
Oh, wow.
I meant my wife's father.
Okay.
Oh.
My wife's father. My wife's husband is nowhere near in the picture anymore.
I was like, I'm digging it if you guys are positive.
Yeah, I just thought
I'm proud of you. I was going to give it a round of applause.
Positivity.
Family,
we could all get along.
Up,
yeah.
It's whatever.
It takes a village.
I was like, wow.
Did I say my wife's husband?
Yes.
Totally.
Okay. Well, that gives you a little glimpse in the mind what's going on in my life.
you kept going, so I was like, maybe this is a normal thing. Maybe we're... Maybe, no, maybe. We got to ask.
I'm going to shut up for once.
No, please. I'm the one that made an ass out of myself. It was my wife's father. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bought me a Zune. I never opened the Zune. So you guys are the era of the Thunderdome hopefully is behind us for good. You know, mm-hmm. we don't know what's in the future, but it happened. It was you guys made the most of it, but now you're getting back out there. Vegas will have SummerSlam. It'll be a big crowd. You had WrestleMania. You've been on the road for a couple of weeks now. Xavier, I'll start with you because what are the crowds like now that's like different maybe 15 months ago? Because you had crowds for your entire mm-hmm. life. They went away. Yeah. What do you notice now?
So for me, it's a little extra because I tore my Achilles in October in 2019. We were in Australia. And so I was out for a few months before right. lockdown even happened. So like for me, it's coming back to like that visceral energy. And so the fact that people have I guess people are bringing like TV energy to the live events sure. as where normally it's like, you know, you come to the live event and it's fun. It's great. You know, you can mess around a little bit more. So the crowd's super interactive. But then when you go to like Raw or SmackDown, everyone's like just losing their minds because there's the lights, the cameras, the fireworks. Like it's a little more amped up and it feels like people, hey, they've been in their houses so long and they just missed wrestling. They're bringing that TV energy to these non-televised shows. And that really helps us out a lot because then we can absorb that and give it back to them. So it's been really fun being back on the road with people. It's been really cool.
What about you, Liv? You notice about the same thing? I mean, it feels like the crowds when I watch now, I don't think I ever noticed how much I love the crowds watching until they came back. Like I've grew up my whole life watching. I was 8 years old, 1987, you know, the Pontiac Silverdome, and then the Attitude Era. I grew up watching it, but I never really noticed the crowd except for rare moments like Rock Hogan in Toronto, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But now every show I watch, the first thing I notice is the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling. Has it been like the same for you where the crowd just like blows you away when you get out
they
there?
They blow me away every single time. They bring me to tears. In WrestleMania, when we finally got to be with the crowd again and just walking out on stage in the beginning of the show, I was brought to tears. It's just everything that we do is for the fans. So to have them finally come back after being gone for almost 2 years, it's amazing. It's why we do what we do. So I'm so happy that they're back. Oh my gosh, it was the worst.
The worst.
It was the worst.
It was the worst.
It was the worst.
My daughter is 12 years old, and I tell the story to every wrestler that comes in here. But so my daughter's 12 years old. I have three boys and a girl. And when I had three boys, I thought, man, when these guys get five or six, I'm going to get to watch wrestling. I'm going to get to relive my life with them. I'm going to do this. And they're just not there yet. They're not. I have a 10-year-old boy. He likes it a little bit. He knows who John Cena is and all that. But my girl loves it. She loves you. She loves Sasha. Yeah. She loves Bianca. She loves all of it. And she's the one that wants to go on the road. She's the one. I brought her here yesterday to meet Sasha. She loves it so much. And there's no question here. I just wanted to thank people like you and Sasha for giving my daughter that role model. It's fantastic.
Please tell her I said hello. That's so sweet. That's so sweet.
I will do it. My daughter is terrified of you, though. So I know your debut was at Mania, right? And mm-hmm. what's it like, man, going out there and your first match, you've got AJ Styles right here. You're looking across probably the greatest tag team of all time, Xavier.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The greatest tag team of all time. You got AJ Styles, and this is your debut match in Tampa. What was that moment like, man?
For me, it was insane because, you know, I went to college in Tampa.
Right.
So I went to USF. And then going back there and then, you know, performing on that stage. Actually, the first time we all came out, the Superstars came out the first, I was so overwhelmed with emotion that Kevin Nash, I saw him in the hallway, he had to give me a hug to, like, bring me down to earth. Like, I was so off. My emotions are, like, up here.
Right. Because
I'd never felt anything like that. Because when I got brought up, it was, you know, throughout the Thunderdome, and which was, I was flying there. I got used to it. I didn't know the experience of going on being on TV and doing the live shows. And then once I got to Mania, that first audience interaction, it was insane. Then after going out with this great guys, New Day, Xavier Woods, and Kofi, and
the greatest tag team.
The greatest
tag team.
I think it's me and AJ.
You've been a tag team for like 3 weeks.
You know, but going out there and having that match, and then, you know, the way the match played out, and, you know, me winning and me hearing people chant my name, everyone almost, I just felt like goosebumps all over my back. And then when I go out there, I just felt the whole energy of the arena just come down in there.
Right.
And it was almost like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Like, I could see myself in it. Everything was just so slow. And, like, it was magical.
Have you gotten a little used to the crowds now? I know you haven't been in front of one as big as Mania yet, but have you gotten a little more used to it now? Or You still feel it.
I still feel it, man. It's something that I've had since when I was, you know, down in the performance center, always nervous before I go out there, you know, trying to, you know, make sure, you know, I got there, what I do, what I have to do, and, you know, still be professional. But it's still something that I'm still cognizant of, you know.
Isn't it crazy how different a basketball crowd is from a wrestling crowd?
Oh, I've told all my basketball friends, you guys, we go to the tournament, NCAA, I'm like, there's nothing better than wrestling crowds.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm like, that is the top of the line. You can hear the game shot, everyone's cheering. But I say, coming to a wrestling event and hearing the fans go crazy and chant and boo, all that stuff. You just take it all in. And it's just, man, it's magical. Now I'm getting chills just talking about it.
Xavier, hey, Brandon Walker, BarstoolSports.com. I mentioned New Day as the greatest tag team of all time. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend New Day didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Who do you think before you came around were the greatest tag team of all time?
Ooh,
isn't that a difficult question?
It is, because there's so many things that so many different tag teams bring.
Right.
So for me, I don't know how they rank in like the best to me, but like my favorite tag team growing up was Billy and Chuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Billy and Chuck because there's this match that they had with the Hardy Boys, and it was about the time that I was figuring out in my head like what wrestling like really was, and like I know I want to do this, but like how do I want to do it? So I'm starting to explore those ideas and thoughts, and I'm watching this match, and I remember like Jeff Hardy gets tagged in and Billy Gunn gets tagged in. Billy Gunn, so much bigger, so much larger than Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy is just knocking him around the ring.
Right.
It's that part of the match, and I'm thinking like, man, and I'm watching other matches, and then certain guys who are of a certain size don't fall down for certain guys who are smaller than them.
Right.
And it's just not as exciting. And so that's the first time that I realized, man, these guys are wrestling for the match. They're wrestling for their team. They're wrestling for everybody who's in the ring. And that's when things really started to click. So I really took a deep dive into Billy and Chuck at that point. And that was kind of my focal point for, like, what do I want to do in wrestling? Because I've always loved tag team wrestling since I was 3-4 years old. And so they became my idea of, like, this is what I want to be. Eventually, yeah. Like I want to be able to work like this and have matches with everybody on the roster, but still make sure that my stuff outside of the ring is highly entertaining, so it brings you to wanting to see my matches. So for me, it is Billy and Chuck. It was like my big inspiration.
I had that exact same moment. I'm older than you. I had that moment with the Rockers.
Mm-hmm.
I had that moment with the Rockers where you've got these big monsters. You got Demolition. You know, you even have the Hart Foundation, which got Jim Anvil Neidhart, who's gigantic, and you've got all these guys. And then I'm like watching the Rockers, and these are two normal size guys, and they're going out there and they're making it look beautiful.
Yep.
They're making it look wonderful, and they're making it look awesome, and they're just different than everybody else. And they never won like tag team gold or something, but I always go back to them as the first ones that made me think like, wrestling's not just like big muscle heads putting on a show. It's mm-hmm. actually they're doing something.
Yeah, it's
and I was
art.
Like 10, I was 12. I don't know how old you were when Billy and Chuck, but I was that they were the ones that made me think them and Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect mm-hmm. in the singles realm. They were like, that's the guys I was saying wrestling's actually a skill and not just a showcase.
Yeah. When you start to break it down like that, I feel like people start to change their perspective, because obviously back in the day, people think, like you said, it's a bunch of meatheads who just scream and punch each other in the face. Like,
right.
no, we do that, but watch out, because we have degrees, we own businesses, we do a lot of things. And so being able to understand that wrestling isn't just go out there and just throw your limbs around like a crazy person and try to interact with some people and get them to boo you. Like, no, this is a form of art. And my art is different from Liv's art, which is different from almost his art. But it's all done on a canvas. And I would say, like, artists, like painters use, paintbrushes and all the colors to paint their picture. But, like,
right.
we use our fists and our feet on our canvas to show you our art. And it's the last form of Shakespeare in the Round. You know, 360-degree sure. audience. You have one take to do all these things. When you're watching a fight scene in a movie, they may have practiced that for 3 months. And then they take the best takes from them practicing and trying it out. And then they put that together. And that's the final product that you see. We don't do that. We don't practice these things. We go out and we do them, we perform them in front of this live audience, and that to me is one of the most difficult things that a person can do, is perform live, not only improv on a microphone, but then with your body at the same time, like getting dropped by a man who's 7'3" while his arms are extended, so we're falling from 8 feet in the air, like that doesn't
how
feel
did
good.
That feel
it feels terrible
right.
It feels terrible. But to almost his point, those crowds being there, that adrenaline rushing through, I don't feel it then. I feel it in the morning,
right.
like I feel it right now. But that is such an integral part of what we do, having that adrenaline, having those fans. And Thunderdome was best case scenario for what we could do at the time. But having these people back, my God, it's a completely different thing. Just like you said, it's weird watching wrestling without wrestling fans.
You mentioned something earlier. I did want to touch on it. I was going to ask about it anyway, but you came back from injury, right? You came back from a major injury, an Achilles, which is not anything to mess with. When you came back, that does that adrenaline feel different when you're in the ring for the first time? Is there a fear there that drives you or what?
Definitely a big fear. Yeah. And then not having, so I came back during Thunderdome stuff, so I didn't have the actual fan adrenaline there to kind of cover
so you came
up
back
the
twice.
Fear. Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So that was, it was weird for like the first month maybe, just trying to get around my mental state of babying it or anything like that. Sure. But it's been luckily good since then, and it's been all right. But yeah, like again, the fans being back definitely like erase all of that.
So we got SummerSlam August 21st on Peacock. Liv, I think there's two great women's championship matches that we're going to have. We're going to have a triple threat on the Raw side. We're going to have Bianca Belair against Sasha on the SmackDown side. I know you'll be watching both very, very closely. What's the general feeling like in the women's division on the SmackDown side? Because it feels like there's just a ton of talent.
It's exciting. It's just really, really exciting right now. Yeah, you know, we just had Toni Storm, Shotzi, sure. Tegan. And so the division, it was already stacked. And right. now it's kind of just like overflowing with so much talent. So it's exciting. I've never worked with any of those girls either. So it just brings new, it's like new toys, you know, to like play with. It's not for me, but, you know, just for everyone. I just lost my whole train of thought.
Do you see yourself on camera?
Yeah.
Well, you're on TV for a living, so this shouldn't be that big of a deal. Is it the picture?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
I do like that picture.
I made.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I made like 12 of them. I drew those myself. I made like 12 of them, and
you're an artist.
You guys like see indeed 15 of them. Anyway, doesn't matter. That one looks pretty good.
Is that iPad art?
Why? Why would you do that? Why would you say?
Is that insulting? No, that's like a way of art.
Oh no.
The iPad.
No, actually, I didn't do it. Digital. I just had somebody do it.
It's just art, you know, just on the tablet.
Yeah.
Pencil, stuff like that.
I'm not stupid. So, anyway, I'm not scared of you. Okay.
He's an artist.
I'm terrified of you. Okay. Here's the thing. How can I just? I know it's annoying.
It's okay.
What's your shoe size?
Size 18.
18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's pretty big. You're probably aware of that.
Yeah.
So your career is just exploding right now. AJ Styles, tag team champions, SummerSlam coming up. I don't know that this might not be on the podcast. We haven't had an announcement that you guys are having a match, right? That we're just.
I don't know what's going. Who we're having a match against? We're just having fun.
You're just having
and
fun
to right? everybody. So I don't know.
SummerSlam's coming up. Is tag team wrestling something that I know during training? Did you train specifically for tag team wrestling, or is this something that once you got on the main roster with AJ that it kind of came together?
Second answer. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, during my training at PC, all I did was singles, and then when I came up here, it was like, okay, you're doing tag team now, so it was like an adjustment mentally for me, and having to learn different spots of where guys come in, and you know the hot tags and. You know, it was just different, but with time, I've been learning a lot in the past four months, so I think I'm getting the hang of it now.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the hardest matches we did was the Money in the Bank for fourth with the Viking Raiders. That was very challenging for me, but after that, it was just like, oh, I get it now.
Sure.
I fully get tag team. I can remember spots. I can do all this stuff. So, yeah.
Now, in training, did you really tear a hole in your pants in front of the Undertaker? Is that a story that I was told about? Did that really happen?
Oh, Lord. Who's
your informant?
I don't have an informant.
You must
I'm a learned wrestling fan that has people.
All right, fair enough. Yes, that did happen. So at the PC, we have what we call PC Lives.
Right.
And the day before the PC Live, this is, I think, right before the main event before New York.
Right.
Everybody came to town, and they were just like, you know what? We have a piece of life tomorrow. You have any, like dress up attire, bring it, right? And and as you can tell, I like my pants very skinny, and I had this skinny dress pants. I'm going to put it on, and I'm talking about, you're going to hop up with the do rehearsals, hop up with the top rope. I'm like, I can do it one time, and I'm fine. Did it one time. They're like, no, I can't do it again. I'm like, brother, my pants are going to rip. Right. Like, no. Did it again. I was like, oh, I got comfortable.
You got confident.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the fourth time I try to go, it rips, literally. And I'm just like, what am I going to do? I can't go home. I don't have any pair of pants.
Aww.
It's going with the show. Okay. So the whole time during the show, I'm standing at ringside. and my whole backside is just exposed. They have Taker, Batista, Hunter. It was just this dying laugh.
So everybody's there.
Everybody's there. Everybody's there. And my butt is just hanging out. They're going to have some draws on.
It's split in the back?
It's split straight in the back.
Oh yes.
Just right there for everybody
just
to
right
see.
Just right there for everybody to see, yep.
Were you wearing undies?
Yep.
At least there's that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was I was glad.
Yeah, no, I bet other people were too. So I know we're probably running short on time. I want to just go one more round here. Xavier, a couple years ago, 2019 Meadowlands, mm-hmm. or 2000 MetLife Stadium, excuse me, 2019. That's when Kofi Kingston, WrestleMania, and the famous shot of you just in tears crying, mm-hmm. and what an incredible moment it was. I don't want to ask about that moment, but Money in the Bank a couple of weeks ago, Big E gets to the top of the ladder. Yeah. You know, New Day's been so special for what, 7 years now. Mm-hmm. Since 2014, is that right?
Something like that.
Something like
six,
that.
6-7.
But yeah. you guys have been together, and just it's just been awesome. A success story for the ages. What was the Big E moment like for you backstage? Because I know you weren't out there like celebrate with him, but mm-hmm. what was that like to see your guy do that?
It's awesome because since we've been together, we've always kind of been a unit that like lifts up the group. Right. Rising tide raises all ships, kind of thing. There's no animosity. There's none of it's only love, and it's one of the few times in my wrestling life where I've been able to find that. And I think that's what helps us stay together so long. So like watching E finally get that moment of like being Mr. Money in the Bank after knowing that he deserves to be Mr. Money in the Bank, after knowing that he deserves a title shot, after knowing that he should be champion for so long, it's like it's very refreshing and almost relieving to know that, yes, we know this, but I need people in this room to understand it. So to know that they now understand it makes me feel even better for myself, for him, for Kofi, for like us as a group. Because it's just like, if one of us does well, we all do well. And so we were just back there waiting for him to come back to the curtain so
you
we
guys
could hug
ran.
Him.
They ran.
Did you really?
Yeah, because it's awesome. That's real moments. You know, yeah. People understand what wrestling is, but like when moments like that happen, and to your point of the crowd being there, if that would have happened in the Thunderdome, it would have been cool. It would have been awesome. But to feel that energy that everybody else, okay, so again, talking about we know, the people in the room know, but the people in the crowd also know.
Right.
And so it's like, it's this, you take all of that and you wrap it up into an emotion and you can't really explain it, but it feels right. You know?
I think that was just, as a fan that is not inside the business whatsoever, I think that was just such a well done moment because the way the match was constructed, there were other guys in the match that had kind of been there before, but all were very believable to win mm-hmm. the match, like Seth Rollins. Of course, you always think he's going to win it. And I think there were a couple of, finishes or false finishes where you think, oh, he's about to go grab it. And I was just rooting hard for Big E. I'm like, I'm 42 years old. I shouldn't be rooting this hard for another human being to do that. But I was just like, oh, please, just come on one time. And then there's always that moment in the ladder match when you realize, oh, this is it. And he started going up for that last time. And I was like, and sitting by my girl, and I just freaked out. I just got so excited. It was so well done. Such a moment, and I can't wait to see what comes out of that. I have a couple of questions, road questions, because you guys are back on the road, right? You're back traveling again. You're back going all over the country. I'm a big-time wrestling nerd, but there's things I don't really know. I know I can Google things about the wrestling business. My question is this. When you travel around the country, what's the city you're most excited to go to because of the restaurants that you can go to afterwards? What's the one you're like, oh, we get to go here tonight because we're having tacos? Something like that. What's the city where you're like, and I know you haven't been on the road as much as WWE. You'll soon have this city for yourself. But what's, you know what I'm saying, Xavier? Where's that place you go where you're like, because I saw the, I don't remember the name of the show, but the Ride Along, the WWE Ride Along Network, where you guys went to Kofi's place in Boston to get burritos or something. I don't remember what you got. But he was excited about that because he's from there. But where's a place where you're like, man, I got to go there and get this?
I don't know. For me, it's not like restaurants. For me, it's arcade bars.
I love
because they're
so
all
much.
Over the place. So probably like there's so many that I love, but I've had a lot of good times at this spot called the Cobra. It's in Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's a great spot.
I'm going to Phoenix in January.
Go to it. There's a place in Milwaukee called Up Down. They're a little chain that's starting bouncing around. Up here in the Northeast, there's Barcade. Like,
yeah, we got one about three streets away.
Yeah. But the one in the city doesn't serve liquor. It's only wine and beer. And it's like, sir, I'm trying to get lit and play NBA Jam.
What kind of video gamers drink wine when they're playing video games?
Yeah, so it's those for me. Just any place with an arcade bar.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I don't have any places.
You don't
no,
like to eat?
I love to eat, but I guess I just don't care.
You don't care about food? Okay. No, it's, I don't know why that. I my second question is much more ridiculous than that one, and that was a ridiculous question. My second question is, when you travel around to all the arenas in the world, what's the arena with the worst parking situation? Because let me tell you something. I drive a lot, and nothing will ruin a trip worse than a bad parking situation. Tampa?
Worse.
Tampa got bad parking?
We get no parking. Really? No parking. We get shuttled.
You know, he played basketball in Tampa, so you're talking about his
players. Yeah, Tampa's. You talking about New York, not Tampa.
I like when I get to pull into an arena and I get to just park my car. You know,
I like that too.
Last week we had to, and it was, you know, they took care of everything for us, so it was very nice. But we had to like park somewhere 15 minutes away and get on a shuttle, then be delivered to.
Oh, you guys with the Amalie Arena?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Makes sense.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't know yet.
You work for the Tampa Board of Tourism?
he's used to Thunderdome parking.
Titus. I bet you will soon. last question, and sorry for the ridiculous ones. I was just wondering, because I've always heard y'all love working Madison Square Garden, but you also hate working Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that parking is weird because you got to go. It's underground, then you got to cross the
That's
street.
That's weird, too.
Yeah. That's weird. But then also Barclays is weird because we have to park at a parking deck and then get shuttled
really
to the arena. Yeah.
Boston is kind of hard, too.
Yeah.
And you got to take that elevator.
Yeah. Well, Detroit is too, because you park underground, then you take an elevator, then you walk like a quarter of a mile to get to the arena, then another quarter mile to get to the locker room. And then like you're pulling your bags over carpet. It's carpeted, so it's harder to pull your leg.
Carpet is the in hotels, I don't know why they put carpet on the floors.
Why?
Everyone has a bag.
Yes.
Everyone's wheeling their bag.
Yes.
You don't put cards or something? Yeah,
it's pretty cards. Yeah. You'll get it in a few months.
Although. SummerSlam, August 21st, Allegiant Stadium, I believe, and it's on Peacock. It's going to be fantastic. The card, listen, I don't want to belittle WrestleMania at all because I loved it. It was fantastic, the spectacle, everything, and the crowd being back. But this card on paper looks incredible. You got John Cena coming back. You got Roman Reigns on top. You got Bobby Lashley against Goldberg. What an incredible clash of titans that is. You just up and down the card. Xavier, I guess I'll start with you, but this big event feels, you know how some big events feel big, also a little special? Mm-hmm. That one, this one feels like that. Is that accurate?
Definitely. Because like you said, the card, the big matches that they have set up so far. But then I think it's also the fact, like, people love SummerSlam. And I feel like it's always been rivaled between, like, oh, am I going to SummerSlam or am I going to Mania? Because, like, they've got kind of the same vibe, you know. Summer just seems like a party. But then the fact that it's in Vegas, it's the first SummerSlam since everybody's been stuck inside. Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot brewing around it that makes it even more exciting than it normally does.
You made a noise when he said Vegas. Are you going to be okay?
I mean, okay, the only reason is because that after Vegas, we are going to Denver, and we go to San Diego. And I love San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And I love burritos. And I'm looking forward to have a California burrito once we go to San Diego.
Well, why didn't you answer that
one? Yeah. You didn't ask me. You asked them.
No,
he asked the question.
That was a good question.
Yes.
What else do you want to go eat?
Yeah.
Tell us.
I mean,
where do you like? Because I don't like anything, so I'd like
I love
to
all
place.
Foods. So I'm literally going to the city because I watch Guy Fury, Drivers,
Dines.
Yep. And I always, you know, on my Google Maps, you know, find a restaurant and want to go here, all the restaurants. So I'm.
You sound like you're running for office in like a restaurant. I love all foods.
I do, literally.
Hello, my fellow foods.
literally, I love all foods.
Where's they got good burritos in San Diego?
What? That's an understatement of the year.
Okay.
Wow.
Burritos, yes.
Very strong feelings.
Yes.
For real, I didn't know.
By the way, if y'all don't know, San Diego has the best Mexican food in the whole
country. What is a
California
burrito?
Wait, are you saying San Diego has better Mexican food than Mexico does?
No.
Country.
I missed it. My bad.
Country. It's a different country.
Better than Texas.
Oh, wow.
You're going to
get... You can't go after Texas like this.
No,
you They'll
never
get
do.
Mad.
What's a California better, burrito?
So a California burrito is burrito.
Burrito made in San Diego.
Carne asada, which is like the beef.
Yeah.
It has fries and all the goodness in it. And what?
How are you?
No.
Beef and fries?
Fries and a burrito, no.
What?
No.
It's too much like carby.
You can't have too many good things.
It has everything in it. Like a burrito, but just with fries. It's not dry. It's not dry. You have to try.
No. Actually, no.
What can we talk? What do you like in your burrito?
I like
just meat. Cheese.
I like cheese, lettuce. I like, you know, pico de gallo. I like
you're
peppers,
taco.
Onions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a taco,
yeah.
Does rice make a burrito?
No, yeah. The wrap makes a burrito, right?
Well, I get it wrapped.
Yeah, but that's a taco. That's a
close
taco.
A burrito, right?
Yeah, yeah, you do close. Yeah, but what you just described was like a like
just because there's no like rice.
A, there's no yeah. There has to be rice.
What?
There has to be rice. That's a wrap.
So then, what's a breakfast burrito? There's no
it
rice
has,
in
it
that.
It has a starch in it. Yes, potatoes. It
eggs.
But okay. The starch is the wrap.
Boom.
No,
that's not that's it part
is,
of the
it. It's part of it.
You guys are, I don't know. I feel like you're reaching a little bit.
I don't think we're reaching. First of all, do you have family that runs a burrito joint in San Diego?
Not at all. I just love California burritos and carne asada fries. Look it up.
Can we just point out that I asked a question about food? He said nothing.
Yeah, not a word.
Not a word. I thought he was asleep. And then I look over and he just wants to go on an entire
Come
rant.
Come on, man. Do you see how big I am? I got to eat.
I understand. This has been fantastic, guys. I didn't know how this interview was going to go. So I just, you know, three at one time. But I'm very, very talented. I made it work. And you guys are all delightful. You're fantastic. Xavier, since I got you here, I've said it before, but I just want to gush a little more. I've just been 2014 when you guys came around. I've just been a huge fan of New Day ever since.
Thanks,
it's
man.
Been fantastic. It's been something I bonded with my girl about, saying, hey, these are my favorite right now. Watch them. And that's kind of how she got in. And she found her own favorite. She loves Drew McIntyre. She loves Sasha. She loves this one right here. So anyway, I just think huge New Day fan, huge fan of what you guys are doing in the women's division. It's been fantastic. And the future for you is incredible. Awesome. And I thank you all for joining. And I guess anything else? Xavier, you want to say anything?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down, if you have yet to subscribe already. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Up Up Down Down without the O's. And check out G4 on all social media platforms at G4 TV. I am a G4 TV host. Lots of information coming on the pipe. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier Woods. No, I changed it. Remember, at Austin Creed Wins. There we go. Thanks.
Tell him.
Quick question.
Tell him.
Following you, I should know this. Favorite video game of all time?
Mario Kart Double Dash.
Is that the GameCube or is that the
GameCube?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been assaulted verbally about it in here that people like Mario Kart. You guys do big boy bitch, changing middle names, getting tattoos. I will crush anybody at Barstool. In
I
Mario
think
Kart
our
Double
game
Dash.
Time guy that is here, I think he got hired because of his prowess at Mario Kart.
He said 64, and that one's fine, but Double Dash, I'm untouchable.
Well, first of all, Mario Kart 64 is not fine. It's iconic. It's legendary.
It is.
It's wonderful.
But, I mean, nostalgia does a lot for it.
Yeah, because it's all boxy and stuff.
But as far as, like, a game, Double Dash is just a better game.
Never played
to me.
Double Dash.
Okay.
To me.
That's the one where you got somebody on the back, right?
Yeah, you have two players. There's special items that people have. It's just it's a more complex game. It's a thinking man's Mario Kart.
Not for me.
No, no, you'd be great.
Okay, do either of you have a YouTube channel or anything? You got a burrito place?
Oh, my gosh.
What's that? You good?
Yeah.
Everybody good? Okay, this was fun. SummerSlam coming up August 21st. Peacock, it's going to be great. I'm going to be there because God
Are
knows.
You?
Yeah, yes. I am. My first SummerSlam
awesome.
Ever.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Are you bringing a daughter?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Well, you know.
Oh, it didn't make it sad. I'm sorry.
But just listen, if anybody with WWE was like listening right now, you guys are going to be in Madison Square Garden on September 10th, and I would love to take my daughter to that.
Let's get her there.
Okay. All right. Drink's I got a thumbs through. Up on that. I don't know if I can come. Anyway, that's wrestling. These guys are awesome. See you at SummerSlam.